Welcome to Urelevant, the podcast that is all about helping you find relevance in the economy of now. I'm Mike Wheeler, author, entrepreneur, and online instructor, and now here's this week's episode of Urelevant. Rebecca, you had mentioned that whenever you had your first Salesforce job, you were going to Dreamforce and you were not certified yet. So a lot of people think they have to have certifications before they get hired. I think that you proved otherwise on that. And then also you overcame, because you've came in relatively more recently, I guess about 3 years of experience now. And over those past 3 years, especially, the market has gotten tighter. So can you speak to how you separate yourself from the quote unquote competition and how you've been able to, you know, land that first role and then piggyback onto where you are now as well? So can you speak to, you know, getting certified after you have a job, how to land those jobs? Because there's a lot of people out there that think that, you know, it's no longer attainable. So what would you say to those individuals?
I would definitely say it's still attainable. I think that certifications are not a prereq to getting a Salesforce job. I do think, however, having like somewhere indicated in your conversation, in your resume, something just wherever you're looking for jobs, the fact that you are actively learning Salesforce, those trailhead badges, those super badges, even like, yeah, they're certifications in like a pseudo kind of sense. But that was game changer for me because I was able to speak to a lot of the stuff that I was asked about in my interview, like on the LinkedIn posting for most of these jobs that I've applied for, the sales ops analysts along the way, the rev ops, et cetera, et cetera. My older sister told me to take a screenshot of that posting and then look at the responsibilities and take what I did in the military and translate what I did into what they were looking for. So like, for example, they were looking for someone who was good with data analytics, like someone who could like identify like KPIs and like do trend analysis. And I was like, well, in the military, I was able to do trend analysis and data analytics all day. So like, here's my background, here's my experience. I can translate it into this. And oh, by the way, I'm actively learning stuff on Trailhead and I'm studying for my certification coming up. And I was able to leverage that with Promethean too. After I got onboarded, they actually sent me a $100 voucher towards my exam at the time. And they were like, here, go ahead and go get this certification since you've been studying for it already. So that was pretty cool. So I don't think, and Nikki, feel free to jump in whenever you want, but I think certification is definitely not a prereq for breaking into the ecosystem, especially like, as long as you're not like for very obvious reasons, you can't just go out there and say, I want to be a senior admin right now. Like there's not that I think certifications again are required for that, but having like background in Salesforce is incredibly critical. But to answer your question, yeah, the breaking into it, definitely challenging, but being able to translate your now skills into what they're looking for, I think is probably the way to do it. And then discussing Salesforce along the way.
Okay, excellent. So Nicole, I noticed you are a CRM manager. Is that your title?
Yes, it is. Correct.
Okay. So what other systems beyond Salesforce do you find yourself dealing with?
Oh my gosh. Tons and tons and tons. So yes, I am responsible for everything Salesforce. So anything that happens in Salesforce goes through me first. And I say yay or nay. But I also do all the like project management for it and the build and the development and the training and the enablement and all the things inside of Salesforce. But we have a lot of integrations with Salesforce. So I work in HubSpot, which we use for marketing. So we have HubSpot and Salesforce connected and we pass the information back and forth. I did an implementation of Lean Data for lead routing and account management and a lot of other more complicated processes too. We also use Clearbit, and then we use Apollo for contact enrichment and sales outreach. We use LinkedIn Sales Nav. And then I think the biggest one is we just did a data cloud implementation, which I was the only one working on that with our implementation partner. And I can speak into more detail about that too, since that's like the hot topic for Salesforce right now. But being able to do that implementation for a startup company was pretty incredible. And I've learned a lot. We're using it in a different sense where Like we had a custom integration between our internal database that sends information from our internal database into Sales Cloud, but it was a little like spotty, it broke, it would take up a lot of API calls. We needed engineering to like fix things for us on it when it broke, or if we needed new things. So what we have now is we have BigQuery connected to Data Cloud, and then Data Cloud sends information to Sales Cloud. And then we have it Sales Cloud to Data Cloud to BigQuery. So basically we're using it as like an ETL tool to take information, transform it, and put it in our destination. And it's pretty cool. And it's opened up a lot of new avenues for all the teams, both that use Sales Cloud and then everybody who uses BigQuery for our reporting.
Very nice. So I noticed that you had the Data Cloud Consultant certification as well. So it's always helpful to have a project you're working on to help inform your studies and vice versa. So what's the big takeaway from attaining that certification? Any advice for those aspiring to get Data Cloud certified?
Yes. So I was fortunate enough that we happened to be doing the implementation, and I was able to sit in on the course that Salesforce offers. So I was, luckily my company did like fund that for me to make sure that I was capable to like do the implementation with our partner and then handle the enhancements that we're working on thereafter. But honestly, Salesforce did a fantastic job with the like Trailhead and the studying materials on Trailhead for the Data Cloud exam. And it's very, very helpful. There are like some development orgs that you can build now. And that was where like I was able to get like hands-on, like actually connecting the like data streams, building the data models, doing the mapping, pushing it back, understanding the difference between profile and other, and like the different categories that you have to build in your data model. And all of those things are what is like asked about on the exam, because they want to make sure that you understand like what you're doing and why, and the different like technical terms inside of Data Cloud. There are a lot of different use cases for Data Cloud too. I think ours is like a little bit different than like what Data Cloud was originally intended for. So I think it's like gonna open up. But the materials on Trailhead, I think, are very, very valuable for anybody like looking for a way to try to study and get organized for the exam.
So tell me a little bit, man, both of y'all feel free to chime in, about your upcoming session for Mile High Dreaming. How did that come about? What's the main takeaways you're going to be discussing? And how did you come to decide, you know what, we want to present at this conference?
Yeah. Well, do you want to go back or do you want me to?
I was going
to
say that was totally your idea. Nikki called me on a Sunday afternoon and she was like, Beck, how do you feel about trying to speak at Dreamforce this year? And I was like, you know what? Why not? Like, that sounds great. Cause like at the time, like I didn't know if I was going to Dreamforce yet or not, which, spoiler alert, I am. I'm very excited. We were originally building our proposal around speaking at Dreamforce to talk about being siblings in the ecosystem and being prior military, being women in the workplace, all of the things that like we had to like bring to the plate. And then Mile High Dreamin' opened up and it's like up in Denver. And Nicole was like, you know, actually, why don't we just like send our proposal over to them first, see if they like it. And then it'll be kind of like a trial run, because Mile High Dreamin' is at the end of August. And then Dreamforce is mid-September. So we were like, let's see what happens. We'll submit it. And then if we get like turned down both times, like, oh, well, we'll try again next year. And then Nikki gives me a call. What was it? Friday, like 2:00 in the afternoon, like when they announced the speaker, she was like, Becca, oh my God, we're speaking at Mile High Dreaming. So the whole idea was, number one, like we're both in like senior level positions now. So like we've seen a lot. I'm coming from an enterprise background. Nicole's coming from a startup background. So we had a lot to like bring to the table on like our different experiences, like with the like kind of the two different sides of the ecosystems. And I do know that there's many other sides to like Salesforce, but those two sides specifically, enterprise versus startup. And then we were like, well, we have this cool story about how we like grew up with our mom in like Coal Cracker Town in Pennsylvania. We had no idea like what was out there in the world, because a lot of the people where we come from, they end up just staying there and they don't really do a whole lot. But we knew we wanted to go out and do stuff because our parents kind of like put that into our brains. And we like made it out into the world. We were on opposite sides of like the East Coast for a long time, and I somehow managed to end up in Colorado in the exact same career field, in the exact same industry, because we're both in SaaS startups now. And we were like, that's like such a cool thing to be able to talk about and say that my sister is my best friend in real life, but also she's my best mentor in Salesforce, because whenever I have a problem, I call Nicole and I'm like, Nicole, I need help. I don't know why this is happening. ChatGPT is giving me the runaround today. Please help me out. And Nicole will give me something to like go off of, and like vice versa too. Cause like I've seen things that she hasn't, and she's seen things that I haven't. And it's like a cool relationship that we were like really excited to share, like be like, look what happened, like how this like transformed our careers. And then additionally, something that I didn't know about until I was like working on my second certification is that Salesforce has a whole military program dedicated to veterans. And like, shout out to VetForce. I'm not sure what they're called anymore, because like when you type in VetForce now, it pops up military for Salesforce. But VetForce, if you're a veteran in United States military, you can sign up for their program. You take their prescribed trail, and they give you a free certification voucher to take your certification. And if you fail it the first time, they give you another one and say, uh-oh, try again. So you essentially get two free tries to take your exams, like to get certified. Like, they're paying you to get certified. And then on top of that, Salesforce for Military partners with all of these like major companies to get you automatic interviews. So like, if you're looking, like if you're military, like, and you're looking to break into the ecosystem, like that is your avenue right there. It is free. All it takes is for you to dedicate your 40 hours a week of like, if you're not working, 40 hours of studying and training and doing what you need to do and like getting ready for interviews. And like, that was a game changer. And the fact that I didn't get talked to about that when I was talking to like my VA coaches and whatnot on the way out, and I was mentioning Salesforce, no one knew about that. It wasn't part of the thing. And I found out, I think in like December, it's like 2 months after I got my admin cert, and I was like, man, if I would have known that, like, oh my gosh. So we wanted to talk about that and like kind of how we utilized like our resources that we had available, the free ones provided by Salesforce. And then like your courses too, like we have like, there's all these things that like you can use to get certified if you put in the time and the effort, and then you can see what happens. Nicole's been in Salesforce for what, 7 years now, Nikki? And I've been in it for 3 years, and I slapped on a senior title this year, like the, which is almost unheard of, because a lot of the postings that you'll see today are like, must have 5 to 8 years of experience, like to be a Salesforce senior admin. And it's because I happen to have had like my sister as my mentor who gave me all these resources. And then I discovered all these other resources along the way. So like, I'm kind of like you, Mike. I've been, anybody who has a pulse, I'm like, do you want to do Salesforce? Like, look how cool this is. Free, like it's totally free. You just have to want to do it.
I'll also chime in here too. I actually had a mentor through the Salesforce mentorship program right before I got my first, but like product ownership. Like my, I was a sales operation analyst was my title, but I really owned Salesforce in that role. And his name was Russ Feldman. So if Russ, if you happen to be watching this too. I think Salesforce does offer that. And I think getting a, like, if you can and have the time to apply and dedicate to that, it's really helpful, because you do get paired with people who are much more experienced than you. And I think me being brand new, and I think at the time he owned his own Salesforce consultancy. So I was able to like pick his brain about the different things that he works on, and what like clients look for in different like avenues that he's been down. So definitely like taking advantage of that like was really fun and very interesting. And he also helped me tailor my resume at the time. There are also a lot of folks out there now who are very good at resume tailoring. Becca introduced me to one when I got laid off last year, actually, due to like business restructuring as well. Her name was Megan, and she really helped me like fine tune my resume with all of my Salesforce skills to make it like showcase everything that I've learned and know. So I think like during our presentation at Mile High Dream, and it's just really opening up like the eyes of everybody who is there about what is available, what's free. You might just have to put some like time in, but there are a lot of different things that you can be doing to showcase your individual abilities, what you bring to the table, how you can like make the company grow, and just making sure that everybody is aware of all of those.
Kind of to round this out, what's next for both of you? What either next certification, next skill, whatever that may be, what's on the horizon for you both?
Well, I think Becca and I probably are both in the same on the same boat here, where we've been exposed to the wonderful world of Salesforce development recently. In Data Cloud, we have a lot of Apex scripts and different Apex jobs that we're running to make sure that all of our stuff is working correctly. And I know Becca was just telling me yesterday about all the Apex triggers that she's been working on. So I think we're probably both going to be heading down that route to get more proficient on the development side. So I think platform dev one is probably on our horizon for sure. And that one will probably take a little bit of time and effort, and we'll be using all the resources that we mentioned to get those certs.
Absolutely. That, and then I think we also, depending on how our time goes at Dreamforce, I don't think that I will be prepared enough to take my platform dev at Dreamforce, but we were looking at the user experience one. And I'm thinking that that's going to be probably like the next like stepping stone, and then be like, all right, cool. Now I'm ready to get down and dirty and get this platform dev one. Because yeah, it's the same boat. Like what a lot of people, and what I've never realized, and I probably should have listened more to you, Nicole, and I'm sorry for that, but like I never realized just how crazy startup companies are. Like they are like hit the ground running. Like we want changes. We want it now. Change management process. What's that? Put it in production right now. We need this now. And that has been like light, like exciting, but also terrifying. So now I'm over here like, all right, I have to like dial it back and refine and be a better like project manager on top of that to be able to kind of like get everything out the door and like not break something. Cause that's probably the fear. It's probably I'm not afraid of a lot of things in life, but taking down my Salesforce org on a Thursday afternoon, boy, oh boy, could you imagine?
Right. Yeah. You come from an environment of dealing with nuclear reactors. So there was no changing things in production there. I hope it was a lot of checklists, a lot of, multiple sets of eyes on things. So, wow, man, I'm so excited for you both in your future and excited for your presentation at Mile High Dreaming. And so thank you so much. Any final parting advice or words of wisdom for those that have crossed paths with you today?
Oh gosh, I've been thinking about this because we have a couple of friends who are like pursuing Salesforce stuff, and like our mom as well is also pursuing some Salesforce stuff, which is pretty cool. I think my biggest piece of advice and my lesson learned over the last couple of years was do not chase the money in this field, because if you do, you are going to be sorely disappointed until you have the experience to fight for that paycheck that you think you deserve, right? And then it sounds harsh, but like if you're out there looking to break into the system and you're offered a sales ops analyst job at $75,000 a year, you better say yes, count your blessings and jump right into it. Cause that is a beautiful salary range for an entry level job. And that'll get you started and where you need to go. And to not look at what everyone else is like earning in there, because chasing that money is not going to make you happy at the end of the day, because Salesforce, I think Nikki alluded to it earlier, is, you have to have the soft skills to be able to kind of succeed in here, but you also like need to like what you do, right? Like that's like something that it's a lot of feedback that I get on just my personality with people that I interact with. It is like when they feel like you care about what you're doing and you like what you're doing, they're more likely to come to you like with their problems, and they're more likely to like work with you better, and you'll be able to do your job a lot better. So I think don't chase the money and like what you do, and then you'll have a good time.
My two pieces are similar to Becca's, but a bit different. Number one is like in Salesforce, you always have to be learning and growing. Like you can't just like expect that what you knew last week is what's going to solve your problem tomorrow, because sometimes that's definitely not the like case. It's always changing. They're growing. They're developing. More competitors are coming up in the market offering similar things. So they are going to be innovating and growing and making sure that they can keep up with the competitive landscape that everybody is experiencing. So yeah, the learning part is definitely, even now, I learn something new every single day, especially being in a startup where the problems are crazy and chaotic all day long. You're always learning. And number two is, like, I just want to, like, personally say thank you to every single person that I've ever interacted with. Like, my manager at DTCC, his name's Chase Watson. He, like, gave me the opportunity to, like, go to Dreamforce and get my certification and dedicate time in my role to studying for the exams. And then even, like, my following roles at Octane with Brian, and then Privy with Ryan. And then now my manager, his name is Austin. They just all have really opened up the, like, door for me to kind of just come in and do my thing, and they trust me to, like, get it done. And that's also another attitude that everybody should, like, have. Just come in, learn, grow, get it done, and you'll be on your way to bigger and better things.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, and let's stay in touch. Look forward to seeing what you do in the future.